Because I accidentally played the closing music first, but this is the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. He's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up there this morning, so swing on over there, take a look at that. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man with three E's.
All right, Dan, we had a very... let's call it fun game that just ended. It was on the MLB Network featuring the Washington Nationals and the Philadelphia Phillies. What do we got here? We got 27 hits, but only 5 home runs. And the Nationals won this game at 13-12. So pretty interesting. Are pretty fun to watch, at least from an offensive standpoint, which is what Major League Baseball wants. So there you go. They got action.
I'm sure it was not a quick game like last night's game when the umpires now have to act like the police and frisk every pitcher when they come off the mound. So I don't know if you've seen the footage of Max Scherzer last night. I was pretty calm.
Oh, yeah. Real quick, here's some stats here. A couple big bats from the Phillies here. Alec Bob went 4-for-5. Travis Jankowski went 3-for-4 and did hit a home run. Ronald Torres picked up a couple hits in 4 at bats. And here you go, Dan. McCutchen came off the bench for 1 at bat. He had 1 hit, he scored 1 run, and he drove in 4. So, he hit a grand slam coming off the bench. Over on the National side, while Kyle Schwarber was only 1-for-4, that 1 hit was a 3-run bomb, his 18th of the year. Too bad the Cubs finally decided to give up on him. Trey Turner went 3-for-4. Josh Bell went 2-for-4. Your guy Starling Castro also went 3-for-4, Dan. So... some prime time fantasy stats there. If you had the right guys, and then that means you had Castro on the bench, doesn't it?
No, it means I had McCutchen on the bench because he wasn't
the
starting.
Nationals used, the Nationals used 8 pitchers, while the Phillies used seven. And what's going to affect somewhere down the road in our league, Dan, is Hector Neris took the loss and blew the save. So you're going to pick up an L and a blown save in our league. Whoever has. Sorry about that. But, yeah, no, you know, like I said, pretty good game. We did have, I believe it's one other final as of now. The White Sox finally broke their losing streak. They defeated the Pirates 4-3. Let me see if I'll quickly come up with the other games that are going on. There's a few of them that are rolling along here right now. So let's see if my computer wants to cooperate. We have the Rockies leading the Mariners 3-0 in the top of the 5th. The Brewers are beating the Diamondbacks 1-0 in the top of the 6th. There's no score in the Angels game that's headed into the fifth. Oh, okay, I missed this one. The Tigers beat the Cardinals today, 6-2. So there you go. You are all caught up on everything that has went on today in baseball. So.
Well, you know, we were talking about a couple injuries specifically yesterday. We did a nice little swap. I took Didi Gregorius from you, and you took Moustakis, was it? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
You must be choking and dying over there. Well, I got an update, Big Jack. I don't know if you got one. McCutchen has this inflammation. It's a form of arthritis that causes painful swelling. So, you know, it is what it is, but they're hoping that he can, I'm hoping too, he can get back to AAA Lehigh Valley this weekend and put him on track to get in the Phillies lineup next week. So maybe one of us will get our guy back, but to me it sounds like the issue he's having may linger a little longer than anyone would like.
Yeah, you know, I'm really, really happy for you there, buddy, considering Moustakis is going to be out till the end of July. So I'm excited that you got your guy back and I didn't.
Well, it's not official yet, but, you know, it's just kind of funny. I feel like we almost did the just a very big major league swap for dumping salary or something. I don't know. It's just ironic how it worked out. I don't remember what really prompted the trade. But
I had too many shorts.
You know, and I think I only have Javi, and I think I have a utility guy that doesn't really perform that well. But, you know, we did a pretty even trade, I feel like, and we evenly had two guys that got hurt within 2 days after we made the trade. So it's kind of funny how that works out.
Yeah, you know, definitely one of their trades that have went down would kind of figure. You know, I did, you know, because I don't believe either of them have any major injury history, but they've both missed a boatload of games. So it's just like, great, here we go. What are we going to do? So, but, you know, hopefully I'll actually get Moustakis back and, you know, Get a little something out of them, maybe.
That's the hope.
And kind of how it goes. And you know, I didn't realize, Dan, until I clicked on MLB.com, because of course it's the top of the story on everything they do. But apparently, Shohei Ohtani is pitching today, or maybe was. So there's a chance he's already out of the game. So.
What, you said it's the fifth inning?
Yeah, the top of the fifth. I don't know, maybe the game LA, so there's a chance he's still in, but now, you know, he's not going to be around much longer. He's given up four hits. I'm going to see if I can get his strikeout total here. That's all they're going to talk about, no matter what happens. I can tell you he's 0-for-2 and he struck out once, but where the heck are the pitching stats? I want to see right now.
Oh, he's pitching and hitting today?
Yeah, he's back second as the pitcher. So.
How does that work? Is he?
What do you
consider? You said he's pitching and hitting. So when they put together the lineup, does that mean he's, you know, actually, what, you know, old school we would consider, you know, technically the number nine, the pitcher position, or does he double up as a DH? I don't, you know, I guess that's where my confusion comes in. I didn't look at the box card right now.
Basically, all it is he's the pitcher. It's the National League lineup, except he hits second.
Oh, okay.
You know, and then like, and that's the right. The reason he's being played in the outfield, Madden takes him out as a pitcher, is because if he doesn't do that, that it can't become the DH. It's the pitcher spot after that. So anybody he brought in would have to hit that. So
okay, so that's where I was going to go with it. So when Joe puts his lineup in this morning and he puts in pitcher, when Shohei gets taken out, you can't change that to a DH, can't, you know, obviously.
Right. So.
It's a little tricky, you know, because it makes you reevaluate how long you're going to keep
him
in.
Right. You know, because, if you think about it, I mean, if Otani is replaced by another pitcher and leaves the game, that pitcher, whoever it is, becomes the number two hitter in the Angels' order.
Except,
you know,
if
so
he gets put to the outfield.
You know, what he doesn't. Yeah, you know, he makes the double switch. He puts Otani in, I believe, what he's been playing. You know, and like on a day like today, probably take Juan Lagares out, who's hitting eight. So then the pitcher becomes the eighth hitter, and then obviously you just pinch hit for him every time he comes up.
You know, that makes it kind of tricky in the fact that you really can't take Shohei out that early, you know.
Oh. You know, he's currently at 79 pitches, and we're not to five yet, so you do have to wonder for, you know, how many more innings you're going to give him today.
You know, because
look, he actually just gave up a solo home run to Stremski, so now the Giants are winning 1-0.
Because I mean, God forbid that anyone goes into extra innings these days. But you know, with this strategy, if you take him out, and you end up tying, you essentially run out of players, don't you? Eventually, a lot quicker than any other team would.
I actually like it because, you know, they need that bat in the lineup, especially with Mike Trout out. So, you know, you need a Tommy's bat in the lineup. And, you know, Matt was, you know, he was in the National League with the Cubs. He knows how to handle this stuff. So, it shouldn't be too big of an issue for him. You know, of course, you know, the bigger question is, you know, how does he manage the pitching staff? Because, you know, we know from his time, well, he wasn't very good at it. So.
Yeah. Interesting strategy. I kind of like it, though. So it's just a shame we won't see this other than with them.
Hey, here you go, Dan. I did not know this, probably because I don't have him in any league, but George Springer has been activated by the Blue Jays. I think he's played all of three games for them since signing that gigantic contract. So we'll have to see if he can stay healthy for now.
Yeah, do you... I remember, you know, you asking me about what I thought about this contract, and I didn't think it was that great of in the essence of what Toronto's giving up or paying to get him. Do you think that's kind of coming to fruition?
Oh boy, it sure is right now. I was actually wrong. He's played five games, so I was a little off there. Yeah, you know, I mean, if he's going to continue to have health problem after health problem, which he really never had in Houston,
you're going to
have to wonder, because you know, they're tied to him, you know, till 2026, 6 years.
Ooh.
So, you know, he'll be 37 to last that deal. I don't think he'll be playing the outfield then.
No, he won't. And, you know, that was just one of the things. I don't think he's a bad player or anything like that. I remember when the signing came up and we discussed it and you threw out the number. And I actually thought it was 5, but even 6 years, it just seemed kind of high for me. And I know you threw out the fact that, you know, he's World Series winner, blah, 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 but it just... How do I put this kindly? You know, just because you were on a team that won a World Series doesn't always mean that you really are worth what you're demanding. You know, did Reddick go out and get another contract, a high value? No. You know what I mean? Being a part of a team. And I hate to say it, as a position player, it's a little different than with a pitcher, depending on, you know, the pitcher's performance in the playoffs. That can make, gets, you know, sway things a little bit more. But I don't know. I just felt like with what they offered him and the terms, the length more so than anything was just kind of a little too much.
Yeah, it is a little odd, you know, because he got really high top dollar money, you know, 6 years, $150 million. And I never really thought as an elite here, you know, I guess, you know, my thing, and I get it, you know, 2019, he had his best year. He hit 39 bombs, drove in 96, hit 292. But, you know, that's really been it for his career. I mean, he's a 269 career hitter. He did have one other 30 home run season in the, you know, this is his eighth year. So I don't know.
Yeah, I just...
You know, it's definitely, you know, I didn't think it was a good signing, but, you know, I guess we'll see how it works out.
Yeah, and to add to it, I just felt like with the youth that Toronto has and brought up and all that stuff, that he didn't really... Oh, what's the word? You know, you're looking for that guy with the experience to really be that cornerstone out there in the outfield. And, you know, and it's kind of hard because you just don't see him, you know, that they're building the team around him, so to speak. And it should have been built around the rookies, and you kind of continued with, you know, going with your young guys and then, you know, getting a guy to play out there for a couple of years, every couple of years. I don't know. I think that would have been more my strategy, but that's why we don't run
you
teams,
know,
right?
If he can provide some, you know, what they'll call that veteran experience, you know, maybe it can help. But, yeah, I wasn't, an overwhelming favorite of the signing. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, Dan, I got a question for you, and I don't know how you answer this. So, former Cub Kyle Schwarber has played 62 games with the Nationals. He's got 18 bombs. Do we finally see the 40-plus home run Kyle Schwarber Theo Epstein promised us, except in a different uniform?
Yes, we do. I don't know what it is, Big Jack, but the man who walks on that field for the Nationals is different than the one who played in Chicago.
Well, he's playing more. You know, remember, Madden wouldn't play him against left-handed pitching. He's played 62 of, I believe, the Nationals' 70 games. I think today was their 70th game. So he's only missed 8 games. So he's playing against everybody here. And what was funny, and I know you're going to get a kick out of this, is you know, I always mention it to Schomburg too, and what he always says, yeah, but, you know, he's only hitting 200. Well, now his average is up to 240, and his replacement with the Cubs, Jock Peterson, has 11 homers and is only hitting 243. So did it really work out? Yeah, the Cubs saved $2 million because I believe Peterson is making $8 million. Schwarber got $10 million from the Nationals. But, you know, and I know it doesn't matter because David Ross wouldn't have played him against left-handed pitching anyways. It just proves how inept the Cubs management is. But, yeah, I just thought it was interesting that he's getting an opportunity to play and he's hitting.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, and that was one of the things we touched on before. And it wasn't – I was a Kyle Schwarber hater. I just knew he was not going to succeed in a Cubs uniform because, like you said, the whole him not being able to play against left field, you know, left fielders, left-handed hitters, and then the whole, you know, not knowing what you're going to do every day. You know, these guys want to come in, and, yeah, he had that superstar status, but he was – while Cubs fans would cheer, their heads off for him when he walked out there, Kyle Schwarber still drove up to that stadium every day, unless he got the update before he got there, wondering, am I playing today? And I think that's a huge strain on your psyche. You know, they always say the game is 10% you know, physical, 90% mental or whatever. You know, and that's another thing, like with Albert Almora. You know, when he was consistent, the minute he got, you know, a few games in and he was consistent, then he's taken out for 3 or 4 games. You know, so he never had that time to really take off. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not working out anywhere. But
well,
I just really saw that, well, you know, I just really saw that Schwarber would succeed somewhere else. I'm still surprised, though. That he went to a National League team. I really thought that he would have been in an American League team, somewhere he can, you know, moonlight in the outfield, but take a full-time spot, you know, at the DH.
Yeah, I was really shocked that more American League didn't try to jump on him because, you know, I mean, we're looking at just $10 million. But I guess this is, you know, this could be the other interesting thing behind this, Dan. I mean, you know, obviously the Nationals are having their struggles. You know, I mean, they're still not, you know, buried in the division. There is still an opportunity. But, you know, Schwarber's only on a one-year deal.
Oh.
Is he trading for an American League player?
I think the Nationals would have – should. I think it would be in their best interest and, you know, kind of would help make up for some of what they lost in Chicago or to Chicago, the White Sox, that is. Not that you can make up for, you know, what happened 3 or 4 years ago, but, you know, to kind of get some of that traction back.
Yeah, you know, because you just wonder, or, you know, I mean, you know, he could fit with the Nats as well. I mean, he is capable of playing the outfield. He's not going to win any gold glove, but, you know, I mean, he's not a complete butcher. But obviously when you think Kyle Schwarber, you think, you know, DH. He looks like the perfect guy. You know, wonder if the American League team on the outside looks in going, hey, maybe that's bad.
Yeah, and I think he needs this season. You know, hopefully he stays healthy. And I think Kyle Schwarber needs to stay healthy this season, and he needs to just keep doing what he's doing. Because, you know, obviously last year, what year is this again? This is 2021. Last year, with the shortened season, and then his lack of performance playing over the last couple of seasons with the Cubs because of management, he didn't have a whole lot to sell himself on, you know. And I think now if he continues on this rate, he's going to have a lot to sell himself on. And if the Nationals can, I think if they can get him, get back, you know, what would you say, 2, 3? I don't know if you'd get 3. I think you can get 2.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, another team would only be taking on, like, you know, roughly $5 million or so. And then you wonder what would happen in the offseason. But I think going in the offseason, he's going to get a nice little contract for himself.
Well, that's the next question I wanted to ask you. If we see, let's say, 45 bombs out of him, and he hits the 100 RBI mark, and say he just does hit 240 or two, you know, even 230, how big of a deal is he looking at? You know, because, you know, like I said, he's making $10 million now. Would a team double that, or is $20 million too much for strictly just a power hitter?
How old is he? Is he like 26 yet?
Yeah, I'm trying to let me double check really quick, and I can tell you Kyle Schwarber is actually 28.
Ooh, he's got that baby face. I don't know. I think 20 would definitely be the top of what he's looking for. But, you know, at 28, I think he could definitely get something maybe to average that. It could be possible to average that, $20 million over 5 years with two options. You know, I don't know. I'm kind of – obviously, we don't play GM that whole lot, but I would say one of my offers thrown out on the front office side would probably be looking at 3 years with, you know, $15 million, add on maybe a signing bonus or two for like $10 million, and you kind of get close to that $20 million a year. What would your thoughts be on that?
Yeah, I'm still kind of wondering, who might jump. Because, you know, depending on the team, I mean, if it's a team like the Yankees, I could see $20 million easy from them, you know, or the Red Sox, even though I know they do have J.D. Martinez, so I don't know how the fit would work there. I could easily see, you know, one of the bigger money teams going to 20. I think if it's anybody else, he'll probably land between 15 and 18. But even so, you know, if you get that for 5 or 6 years, obviously he's not going to be hurt when his career's over. You know what I mean? The fact that he's only 28, I don't know his birthday, maybe he turns 29. If he takes a 5-year deal, he's back on the market at 34. He can still get a couple more years if he's healthy, you know, if he's healthy and can hit. So, yeah, I mean, he's got a chance to really cash in if he can just stay healthy and continue to hit.
You know, kind of going back to what you asked, if he's, you know, if the Nationals would be sellers on him, whether they sell him or trade him or not, you know, going in the offseason, you know, and I'm throwing this one out there, is a wild one, and it's only because we already talked about them. But you have a healthy Mike Trout, you know, healthy Shohei Ohtani. Can you fit Kyle Schwarber into that system? Or, never mind, backtrack, forgot Joe Maddon's the manager.
Yeah.
If Joe Maddon wasn't the manager, do you think that would be something? I just killed my own what if.
You know, they have a really crowded outfield anyways, because, you know, they do have Upton. You know, Justin Upton is still there when Trout comes back. And they have the number one prospect in baseball is Joe Adell, who's one of their outfielders, that for some reason they went and got Dexter Fowler instead of playing Adell. So I guess they didn't think he was ready, but I know a lot of other people thought he was. I think it's probably a little too crowded there. I was thinking, you know, for like this year and this year only, I could see a team like Tampa Bay taking on the remainder of that salary because, like you said, it's only going to be max $5 million, you know, and that's definitely something they could handle. I wouldn't be surprised if they decide to grab him for the playoff run. But, yeah, you know, I mean, they wouldn't keep him. You know, Tampa Bay doesn't do those kind of things. And you also got to wonder what Washington's interest is in him, you know, with the year he's having. Maybe they've got an interest in bringing him back. And, you know, they have obviously some money coming off the books with Max Scherzer. You don't know what they're going to do there because that's going to be really expensive. So, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll just stay there. He'll finish his career as a National.
I kind of lean towards that, to be honest with you. And staying with the Nationals, he looked good in that uniform. I guess they all look good in their uniforms, but I don't know. I guess my point was he just fits. Yeah, sure. He kind of fits in that uniform, and, you know, I don't know. I think he's got a good spot there, but I was just trying to think of American League teams. You know, it would be interesting and kind of a kick in the junk maybe a little bit to the Cubs. And you know exactly where I'm going if he came over to the South Side for half a season.
Yeah, well, you know, you do wonder now that Yermin Mercedes has been kind of figured out by the league, you know, depending on what Eloy Jimenez's status is, and, you know, I know he's been cleared for baseball activities, and he's an instructional lead. You know, depending what his progress is, that might not be a terrible idea. I mean, you know, Merced is down to 270. He's only got 7 home runs. If you remember, he started out the season like 8 for 8. So, you know, he's definitely, you know, I could definitely see that as a possibility. Again, I don't think they would give him up long term, and I don't think they would give up enough to really make the Nationals interested. But again, you never know. You know, imagine adding a big power left-handed bat to that White Sox lineup, because they don't really have that big power lefty. I mean, I know Grandal is a switch hitter, but there's not that monster left-handed presence.
No, I mean, yeah, that's why, you know, I think it would be super interesting if he came to the South Side, and it seems like a great fit, at least for this season, with, you know, Luis Robert and
I think what really makes all these teams interested is that salary is going to be really attractive. You know, you're not looking on at, you don't have to add any other years, and you're not adding much money. You know, so obviously in that case, if he is dealt, the Nationals are going to want a little more because of that. But, you know, I mean, you know, if you're a contending team and you want to win, could be worth it for you. Again, it's another guy with some world experience, you know, World Series experience. That may help. So, you know, you never know.
Yeah, and, you know, for him, it might be cool to be back in Chicago and just kind of rub it in a little.
Oh, God, yeah.
And totally hypothetical, but I really don't know of anyone with the Cubs-White Sox World Series ring, and, you know, from each team.
Yeah, I don't believe there is. You know, neither team had won enough close enough together. You know, maybe a front office guy or a clubhouse attendant or something like that, but I don't think player. I'm racking my brain to think. Yeah, that's what
I'm going to do some.
Because if you think, you know, the Sox won, it was 2006. So player wise, I couldn't see.
No one had any.
Right, on the actual team, the coaching staff could be a different story. You know, those guys hang around a long, long time. You know, and so do broadcasters and other people like that who actually get rings. So I guess that could be possible.
If the White Sox win, I guess we'll know the first one is Len Casper.
Yeah. There you go. So that would definitely be it.
I mean, we'd have to go back to the early 1900s, though, to see a Cubs-White Sox, see if there was somebody. But I still think it's kind of an interesting thing to look up, and I'll have to do some digging later to see if, you know, like maybe rivalries, but more so the cross-town teams. You know, for instance, the Angels and Dodgers, or the Mets, Yanks, You know, and I think I'm sure there's multiple players that have a ring that played for the Yankees and then played for someone else. Did Reggie have one for both?
Or you know,
did he
I don't think Reggie
Oakland.
I think he won in Oakland and New York. But
yeah.
You know, he didn't win with the Angels, and he never played. So,
yeah, it would, you know, it'd still be an interesting thing if I can find any.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, with as many as the Yankees won, if somebody happened to be on a Mets World Series winner, you know, that wouldn't be a shock to me. You know, with that, or even like, you know, Dodgers, Angels, that, you know, I mean, well, you know, Mike Socha obviously was with both teams. He was the Dodgers catcher, and he was the manager. So I believe he won, you know, he won one there with both guys.
Didn't the Angels win in like 2001? So, I mean, somewhere in the early 2000s, because, you know, the last Dodger win before last year.
You know, was that? I don't remember.
Because if you remember, you know, the Dodgers won in 98 or 88, and then not until last year.
Huh. Yeah, there might be if we're acting,
2002.
Somebody's going to pop in there. You know, somebody's going to pop in there that has both, and nothing's coming up. But there's got to be, you know, there's got to be something there, right?
Yeah, there's got to be somewhere. It's just hard, I think, because the spread, the time difference, so to speak, between, you know, championships. You know, it would be hard, I think, for a White Sox to have been on the 2016 Cubs unless they were, you know, called up just for that series, right? For some reason, made the whole World Series roster in their, you know, absolute first year. Well,
yeah, it would definitely have to be that. But yeah, I looked at their I looked at their roster, and there's nobody, you know, nobody that stuck out, not even anybody that I think was coaching anymore. So
I think the only Cub in the White Sox organization is Darren Williams, right?
Who knows? You just never know what they end up doing here. So yeah, it looks like Mike Socha got rings with the Dodgers in 81 and 88. And I know he was the Angels manager when they won I don't know if it was their last World or what it was. So he's the one guy I thought of. At least I got that one right.
Yeah, if only the Angels won, you know, and then the Dodgers won, and then we could have Albert Pujols.
You know, it definitely would have been interesting. But, yeah, unfortunately, he was unable to bring a title to the Angels, even though they had Mike Trout.
Yeah. Because of his foot.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, I mean, it just didn't work out for him. So, you know, I mean, you know, like I said, he's still, you know, still a first ballot Hall of Famer. And he's, you know, he's actually doing pretty well with the Dodgers. So, you know, that's nice to see, because I still think he was treated poorly or unfairly by the media when, you know, the sabermetrics said he was the worst player in baseball and, you know, all the other crap they started dropping on him. So,
yeah, You had a Hall of Fame player, and you're just going to dog him.
Yeah, just completely kill the guy. I went to the 2016 Cubs to see what their coaching staff looked like, just to see if anybody was hanging around, possibly. I don't think David Ross was a Cub or a White Sox player in 2006 or anything, was he?
No, wasn't he with the Red Sox? And John Lester?
Actually, probably was. No. Just kind of how it goes. But yeah, you'll definitely have to do a little deeper dive into that and see if see if you can find anybody. I did also see Dan, the Dodgers are getting back.
Yay!
He struggled with injuries as well this year, playing just 15 games I think he's only played in. So yeah, it's been a bit of a rough year obviously a former MVP, big time superstar. It just seems to be one of those years, doesn't it? Guys just keep getting hurt, and there's no real reason for it, or there really shouldn't be a reason for it. I don't think anybody's been able to figure it out, have they? Heard any reason? Have you heard anything about, the possible rash of injuries or anything like that?
No, it's just freak of nature.
Yeah. So, but I did find this story pretty interesting here, Dan. And we haven't talked NASCAR in a while, but there's a story today where apparently this is official. Jeff Gordon is going to leave the Fox Sports booth, so he'll no longer be broadcasting NASCAR. He is taking a job with Hendrick Motorsports, which is the team he used to drive for. He is going to be the vice chairman, which actually puts him as the second highest-ranking team official, only behind the team's majority owner, Rick Hendrick. So that's a
wow.
Pretty big there for, Jeff Gordon. It'll also leave your guy Clint Bowyer alone in the booth, apparently.
What about the other guy?
Which one? Well, they still have, the play-by-play guy, Mike, I forgot his last name. So, Mike Joy, that's it. So,
yeah,
but yeah, definitely been, very, very interesting. And I do wonder, I would like to think they'll probably replace him. There are some other former drivers out there, maybe a Tony Stewart or somebody like that could jump into the booth, or, maybe Jimmy Johnson.
How much longer do they have?
Who, Fox?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I don't know how much longer they have. I don't know how long that that contract goes. So, maybe they won't hire anybody.
Do they go to NBC next, correct?
They go to NBC, and then they've got that deal with ESPN.
No, I thought they scratched
No, they're doing something with them. It may be just the Plus, ESPN Plus. But I think they have some kind of deal with them as well. So, you know, because now the, you know, the races have jumped over to NBC. You know, so you do have to have the NBC Sports Network because that's where the majority of them show up. And as we know, you know, you and I mentioned it before, that station is gone at the end of the year. So I don't know what they would do if it would, you know, stream to Peacock or, you know, I think there was some talk they may put it on, put some of the races on USA. But I don't know how that worked out. Something we'll have to try to figure out.
I didn't even know USA still existed.
Yeah, they're still hanging around. They're still an NBC affiliate. I believe they've showed some NHL games, some NHL playoff this season. So every now and then a sport will pop up there.
I guess, you know, Clint has, or Fox has the whole year to figure out who's the replacement. Because, you know, that was going to be my first question, was how much longer do they have to broadcast?
You know, I don't know if the 2022 schedule has been released yet for NASCAR. So I don't know if it's quite available, but let me jump on your favorite search engine here and see if I can find it. Maybe there is something there. What's that search engine you like?
Bing, where you get a lot of points for just searching. So many points, Big Jack, that I eventually will get an Xbox for free. I don't know why I'm going to get one.
Uh-huh.
I never even touch mine. and I have a 360 that still works.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
My nephew.
It does look like they have something here. Let me see if it doesn't look like it's actual, like, race schedule.
Well, I did, you know, I have my brother-in-law who's a big NASCAR fan, and, you know, we were talking about it the other day or the other week, you know, how the days all run into each other when you get older, right, Big Jack?
About it.
You know, we were discussing, you know, I was like, what happened to the Chicago race? And he's like, you know, I didn't even look at the schedule yet. He's like, you know, we used to go every year. He goes, then they switched it from whatever day to another day. You know, he goes, He said it sucked because it was never like the other races where they're all kind of in the same schedule. You know, the Chicagoland Speedway got kind of just bounced around. And, you know, and I brought up what we talked about and them not being able to get a sponsor for that last race that they did. And he was actually at that one. I think there was like a tornado warning that day. So they actually didn't see the race. They spent the afternoon underneath the bleachers hoping not to die. while we watched their daughter. So that prompted them to get a will in place. No, I'm just kidding. They got a trust in place. But, you know, I asked him, I go, what was the deal with that track? And he goes, it's all about sponsors, this and that, you know, kind of what you said. He goes, the Chicagoland Speedway just sucks. He goes, he went to Talladega a few years ago. He's been around to several of those tracks. And he said the Speedway just is probably the worst of them all. So he goes, he's not surprised that they're not even doing the race here. He goes, he's not even sorry. He doesn't miss it.
Yeah, and that's bad when you don't want to go to the track that's closest to you. Yeah, that's a problem.
You know, especially now, because we only live about 20 minutes from the track. But he said, you know, it can almost take 2 hours to get home.
Yeah, well, you know, that's, you know, we went to Michigan a couple times, the Michigan International Speedway. And it's the hardest thing is getting out of there. You know, I mean, well, you know, basically, well, you would know, you would understand exactly. It would be like driving to a baseball game and then leaving at the same time everybody else is.
Yeah. Well, you know, the difference, I think, with Chicago, both teams is, well, for the Cubs, you get a little bit lucky because you're walking out with 30, 40,000, but I would say more than half of them are taking a public transport, and then the other half are staying in Wrigleyville, and then a lot of the Sox fans, you know, take the train. So,
the tracks aren't in the middle of cities. You're out in basically the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, with three exits. Three exits for 30,000.
You know, it's just a ridiculous nightmare.
But, yeah, it's, you know, he said he's not missing that track at all. So he doesn't even, you know, it doesn't bother him. But I thought that was just very interesting.
Nope.
That.
You know what's weird is I haven't heard anybody mention it. You know, nobody's talked about NASCAR coming back to Chicago, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
But,
maybe they'll build a better track one day.
Well, you know, what I would hope is they would sell it to somebody who will upgrade it, which will allow NASCAR to come back.
Yeah, and not get Ninja Turtles 200 race.
Yeah, well, that was because the other sponsor dropped out.
Because the track sucks.
Yeah, you know, they went bankrupt.
Oh.
So, but yeah, you know, I don't know. And I did, you know, God, I don't know what happened to me this weekend, but I missed the entire Nashville race. I was just out, so.
That happens, right?
Yeah, you know, just one of those, you know, one of those things. So, you know, yeah, like I don't even know where they are this week. Do you know? I haven't looked yet. So
I haven't even checked yet.
Yeah, I'll check here while we're talking. What's the date? June. Oh, this is, they're going to do that cool thing this weekend where they race back-to-back, Saturday and Sunday in Pocono.
Isn't that a fast track, too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I want to say they call it the Tricky Triangle because it has more of a triangular shape. So, you know, I do know Kyle Larson has been dominant. He's won the last, I want to say, three races. So, you know, you got to wonder if somebody's going to be able to knock him off this week. You know, it is nice to see him rebound after last year where he had that unfortunate racial slur during the one of the online races and basically cost him his season.
Oh, I actually forgot about that, and I'm surprised that he's not just run through the mud his entire life now.
Yeah, well, you know, I think what helped him is Bubba Wallace saved him. You know, he met with Bubba and explained what happened, and basically Bubba forgave him, and that's all anybody needed.
Yeah, but you know, if that were Major League Baseball, a comedian.
Oh yeah.
You know, that's it. Just like Kramer.
Yeah,
you know, Kramer's done.
Yeah, if it was any other sport,
whatever,
Ansley, it would be over.
Take it easy.
No. you know, yeah, there's, you know, there's no way in any other sport he even gets this opportunity. So the, you know,
yeah,
the fact that he's just been given basically a second chance is, you know, is nice. And, you know, I would like to see more, you know, more teams, you know, more sports do that. But I did want to ask you before we run out of time, did you run out and buy your Carl Nassib jersey now that he's gay, or now that he announced he's gay?
Who? Is that the basketball
Carl
player?
Carl Nassib. He is a defensive lineman for, I want to say, the Oakland Raiders. He's actually the first active NFL player to come out as gay. And after, the day after he did, his jersey was the number one seller.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good for him. I mean, he couldn't have done it in a more appropriate month, but June.
yeah.
I'm sure his jersey was, what's the proper term, you know, I don't know, flaunted or whatever around the parade. So, I mean, for you and I, this is not even a story. You know what
no.
I mean? Like, it shouldn't matter. Like, I would, if I was playing on his team, I'd be standing right next to him. I wouldn't even say anything. You know, he'd be like, oh, did you hear I'm gay? I'm like, so, you know, you've got this, you know, I'm covering this guy, you're covering that. You know what I mean? Like, I know we had, when we wrestled, there was guys, quote unquote, in the closet, which, you know, some of us found out later, and you're just like, oh, well, that makes sense why he was always naked. Or, you know, you hear about guys who are completely, you know, straight. You know, you've seen them with girls, but, you know, sometimes they don't take it or leave it. Or however, what's that saying? You know, you take it or leave it, or, you know, not that they even swung both ways, but, you know, it was there. He was there. He was there. So they did what they did. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, like I just told you, not on air, but I just told you yesterday that one of my oldest friends came out to me over the weekend, and, you know, and it's actually is in the process of doing the hormone therapy and transitioning. So, you know, and I don't care. I'm not going to treat him any different. The hardest thing for me is going to be calling him the new name, because I'm so used to him as, you know, what he is now, and I don't want to throw his name out over the air. But, you know, so adjusting to that is going part. So yeah, I could care less. I'll give you his full name later.
Yeah. Oh wait, Mr. Never mind. I just had to give a hard time. But no, I mean, you know, that's just kind of like, you know, and it's sad that it's taken sports this long. You know, if you remember NPH, you know, everyone's favorite, Neil Patrick Harris, came out, and he was on the cover of a magazine, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, I guess. And that was the end of it. It wasn't like Ellen.
All right, well, the episode for the day that we're going to get out of here. Now, remember, we're not here on Thursday, because Dan has some issues, so he's a family guy, he's got stuff to do. But I have been on Friday with John McSee at 5:00, the green bottom in the field. All is on the field, so it's time to get out. I'm going to check out the new blog, the link comes to the Facebook page, plus the episode feed. Dan and I are all following Twitter if you want to look us up. And if you did miss out on anything we did here, anytime, just head on over to TuneIn.com.